Well, those of you who know me, and quite a few of you do, know I'm a hugger. And if I get an indication you're a hugger and it's okay and all that stuff, you'll get a hug from me. In fact, in one of our churches, one of our little ladies asked Rachel one day, "How do you stand it?" And Rachel said, "What? He's always hugging all these ladies." To which Rachel, without a beat, responded, "He hugs the men too." So I love hugs, and they're such an amazing way of saying I love you and thank you for being who you are in my life. I came across a poem once and never have found the author, but it really expresses a lot of what I feel. There's something that is in a simple hug that always warms the heart. It welcomes us back home. It makes it easier to part. A hug is a way to share the joy and sad times we go through, or just a way for friends to say they like you because you're you. Hugs are meant for anyone for whom we really care, from your grandma to your neighbor or a cuddly teddy bear. A hug is an amazing thing. It's just the perfect way to show the love we're feeling but cannot find words to say. It's funny how a little hug makes everyone feel good. In every place and language, it's always understood. And hugs don't need new equipment, special batteries or parts. Just open up your arms and open up your hearts. I love that. I love that idea of the comfort and joy and thankfulness that can come in a hug. Now, for all of you kids of whatever age you're at who have ever come across the name Shel Silverstein, I will not play at tug-of-war. I'd rather play at hug-a-war, where everyone hugs instead of tugs, where everyone giggles and rolls on the rug, where everyone kisses and everyone grins, and everyone cuddles and everyone wins. Hug-a-war, a new phrase in my vocabulary. Paul the Apostle knew what it meant to say, "I thank God for you." He said it in all of his letters except one, the book of Galatians. And the church there was in such a embattled state that he had to get right to the message. But he didn't only tell churches, "I thank God for you." There's one particular moment in a particular passage of Scripture where his entire focus is on this one person. Philemon is the shortest of Paul's letters. We don't even call it a chapter. Which just noted by its verses. And it's a man that Paul had a long-time relationship with. He was a brother in Christ. The general consensus, Paul probably led him to the Lord in one of his missionary journeys. They were friends. They were brothers. And Paul had something important to tell them. Now keep in the back of your mind, if you're not familiar with the book of Philemon, there's one particular issue that gets raised. But before he raises the issue, Paul tells Philemon thank you. Verses 4 through 7 of the book of Philemon. Hear the word of the Lord. "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." This beautiful little passage, the Apostle Paul expressed deep-seated, honest gratitude for his brother, Philemon. And into each of our lives, at some point in time, if we are quite fortunate and blessed by God, God brings someone into our lives that just elicits our joy and our thankfulness. The kind of people that you don't want to leave. You know, when it's time to go, it takes 20 or 30 minutes to say goodbye because you're still laughing all the way out to the car. The people who hold your hand when you need that. The people who will let you cry on their shoulder. The people who will laugh at your jokes or groan at them. And by the way, a laugh or a groan is a successful joke to me. So I'll just let you know that. We need to show thankfulness. We need to express thankfulness to God for those people he's brought into our lives, to those people he's brought into our lives. And as we look at Paul's letter to Philemon, we'll understand why. As we look at some reasons, our thankfulness needs to be expressed. We need to tell God. We need to tell each other. And our first reason is straightforward. Thankfulness celebrates the love that true believers hold for one another. When I come to God, I say, I thank you, God, the way Paul was here. I'm acknowledging you have brought into my life people who love me. And very often in times, I'm not particularly lovable. You see, the Apostle Paul celebrated the continuing news of Philemon's great love for the household of faith. Keep in mind, Paul is in prison while he wrote this letter in Rome. Philemon is far away. Have you ever wondered how it was that Paul heard about Philemon's love? Well, there's two possibilities. We know that Timothy is with him as he writes a letter because when he says hi to Philemon, he says, it's Paul and Timothy. But there's one other person in the story that might be a bearer of Philemon's testimony. His name is Onesimus. And he's a runaway slave. He escaped Philemon's ownership and went all the way to Rome, the most cosmopolitan city in the Western world. Surely in Rome, he could disappear. Surely in Rome, no one could find him. And he could live his life out in peace. And lo and behold, God just does some really neat stuff, doesn't he? Because guess who Onesimus finally runs into contact with? Paul. Philemon's friend. Paul, the apostle to the Gentile. Paul, who apparently leads Onesimus to the faith, or at least had a part in his growing faith. There are only two possibilities where Paul could have heard about Philemon's love, and it was from Timothy and Onesimus. And I think it may well have been both, which makes this even more incredible. If you're a slave who's run away from home and you're trying to make a new life, you don't exactly say good things about your owner. But there was something about Philemon that touched Onesimus' heart. How do I know that? We'll get to that when Paul tells Philemon what he wants. But Paul heard Philemon loves the household of faith. Philemon loves the people of God. And Paul says, every time I hear that, I'm thankful. Why is he thankful that Christians love each other? Could it be that we don't always act like it? Could it be we don't always show that kind of love? Well, somehow Paul was saying, I know that you love. And so every time I pray and think about you, I say thank you, God, for Philemon in my life. The real love that combined human hearts through a shared faith in Christ is incredible. Now, we need to acknowledge and we need to be honest, folks. Not everybody who talks about faith and religion holds love in very high esteem. In fact, some seem to disdain it. Buddha, who never meant to be treated as a god, whose whole system of thought was trying to make yourself as less encumbered by this world as you possibly can, made a statement if you love 50, you will have 50 woes. If you love 10, you will have 10 woes. If you love none, you will have no woes. Saying, if you want to live a good life out, free from pain, do not get attached to people in love. And then there are the radical folks, the radical people with religion who preach a dogma of hate. And I can pretty much guarantee you the moment I connected the words radical, religion, and hate, I know where you went. Because we were awakened at 9/11 to a reality that the world had known for a long time, and we didn't pay much attention to because it was somewhere else. We've come face to face with terrorism, radical Islamic terrorism. Now, folks, I do not believe that every Muslim is a hidden terrorist. But I do believe that there are those who have clearly shown their hatred to the point of killing themselves in an act of suicide terrorism. What I do want you to know today, though, not all radical, religious, hateful people are Muslim. They're just not. Over the course of the last few years, bit by bit, and it didn't start 2 years ago, it started 10 years ago, 15 years ago in our neck of the woods, we started seeing the rise of the KKK, the Klan. And folks, it has been part of the Klan's regalia through the years to talk about the Bible, to talk about God, sometimes in the midst of a lynching or a firebombing. Hatred in the name of Jesus. We even got a Baptist. Well, he's no longer here. He has left this world and walked in the hands of a holy God. Fred Phelps and the existing Westboro Baptist Church. This is a group that you're going to be familiar with. They protested for years at the funerals of any vets who were killed in action. Protested and tore families apart, saying these men died because of the judgment of God. It's an ugly, horrible kind of situation. And if you go to one of the websites, I'm not sure, he kind of fell out of grace, which is kind of weird toward the end of his life because his children were saying he was getting too soft. I'm still trying to process that. But one of the frequently asked questions, the number one frequently asked questions on one of his old sites, why do you preach hate? It's a pretty good question, isn't it? That's what his answer is. Because the Bible preaches hate. Folks, there are a lot of people out there who wear the name God on their shoulder and carry hatred in their heart. And sometimes it's not just radical people. It's people who act without thinking, without praying, without seeking God. But having said that, the compassionate, warm, loving heart thumps in the breast of every child of God who is wanting to follow Jesus, yielding his life, her life to his hand, is amazing. Daniel, share, we're going to be dedicating the choir room to Lynn in a little bit. Let me tell you one personal, well, actually it was several wrapped up in one idea, act of love that this dear sweet lady showed me and mine. We lost Rachel on January 3rd, 2010. Since that time, Jessica and I made a pact, and every January, if you ever wonder why I disappear at the first of the year, every January 3rd, Jessica and I are going to spend together. But every January 3rd, up until this last January, I get a message from Lynn. Sometimes it'd be a text, sometimes it'd be a personal message on Facebook, but just the simple words, thinking about you, love you. That was good enough. But this lady amazed me. She either had a great calendaring ability or a photogenic emotional mind, because she, on our anniversary, I have no idea how she found out what our anniversary was. Thinking about you. Got you in my prayers. Know this is going to be a tough day. On Rachel's birthday. On every holiday, virtually, particularly ones that had to deal with family like Mother's Day. Jessica got those same texts along the way. Those same messages. I love you and I'm thinking about you. Let me tell you what she did for my daughter. Lynn asked if I could get a bunch of clothes of Rachel's together for her. I had no idea what she was doing, but and she goes, you know, get some of the ones she really liked. Well, many of you know that Lynn quilted. And Lynn took some of Rachel's favorite outfits and turned them into a quilt for my daughter. So Jessica, with that quilt, could always remember her amazing mom. Now let me tell you what she's done for you through the years that you may not know. I've done not a terribly lot, but a lot more than I would like to do funerals here for Bay Vista. And every funeral that I've done, even if it hasn't been for a church member, every funeral I've done that Lynn was able to, Lynn played for. Sometimes it was here at the sanctuary. Sometimes it would be at a funeral home. What you may not have understood is every time Lynn played, it was opening a tiny bit, a wound. I could see her sniffles in her tears. I could see her fighting through the songs. Every funeral brought her back to the deaths of her mom and dad. Some of you have experienced that, haven't you? You've lost somebody you love, and every time you see a casket, part of you just shrivels up. Why did she do it? Lynn had another job. Lynn could have gotten out of it. All she had to do is, my schedule won't affect me. I can't do it. It would have been very easy for her. In fact, most of the time, I just gave her name. I have never barked, you will be and you will play. That might surprise you that I wouldn't do that, but why did she do it? Because she understood that that music was not going to heal the wound, but it might remind God is here. It might remind that healing will come. And it was her way of saying, I love you with every stroke on that piano. That kind of love is what makes our faith amazing. This Christian walk. So let's not fail to let our brothers and sisters know that their love is treasured and celebrated. Let's follow Paul's. I just thank you because I know at my weakest moment you loved me and you carried me when I wasn't able to go any further. I thank God for you because you loved me. And when I shared my good news, you laughed and you just enjoyed it with me, even though you were going through troublesome times. Let's let people know. I thank God for you because your love means the world to me. Then thankfulness encourages those we love in their ongoing journey of faith. This is very important for you to get, folks. When we are thankful for folks and share it, as Paul has just done with Philemon, it encourages people. And Paul had a lot to say about Philemon's faith. He expressed several truths concerning Philemon's faith that are very important. First of all, when Paul is saying, I thank God for you because he said, I know your love is real and I know that your faith in Christ is solid. This is what he had to say about Philemon's faith. It was well attested to by all who knew him. Paul says, I hear about your faith. People talk about Philemon and how he's trusting God and trying to find his way in the journey. He said about Philemon's faith that it was connected in partnership with himself. Philemon, I know that again, let me read it for you. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective. And I'll touch that last part then. Your partnership with me in the faith. Now, we don't know how that played out. It's the word koinonia, the word fellowship, partnership. Philemon may have sent gifts to Paul. Philemon may have sent letters to Paul. Philemon certainly would have prayed for Paul. But Paul said, we are connected because we share this faith, and you've been helping me as I seek to follow God's plan for my life. And finally, Paul says it would faithfully guide Philemon into a true understanding of all God's good gifts. I'm praying that this faith will cause you to just well up in understanding every good thing that we share in for the sake of Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, look, all of this is wonderful. Your faith has been talked about, your faith in the past I've seen for myself. I'm praying for you, and I thank God for you, and it's my heart that your faith grows, Philemon, that you keep moving forward, that you become all that God wants you to be. And for Philemon to get that gift from Paul probably meant the world. I know you believe, and I'm trusting that you're going to go farther. Well, faith, watching the growth of fellow believers should cause us to cheer them on to even further growth. When I see you making strides in your walk with God, I ought to be your attaboy. I ought to be, that's a way to go, yes, that's great, the pat on the back, the hug, the love, whatever it may be, I encourage you to do further. Now, this is where I need you to understand, Paul knew his friend needed to grow. Paul does not suggest that Philemon has somehow arrived and is somehow a perfect being. How do I know that? Because right after this statement of love and thankfulness, Paul says, I have something to tell you, and I'm not going to command it. It's actually pretty amazing. Paul doesn't mention that he's an apostle at all in this. He doesn't open up his normal way, Paul, an apostle. This is a friend writing to a friend, a brother to a brother. And he says, I've got something I need you to do. And I'm trusting the man I see and know about can take the next step in his journey. I'm trusting that the love that you have will finally cause you to open your eyes to that one issue. Onesimus. And Paul said, I'm sending Onesimus back to you. Now, before you freak out, Paul tells him why. But remember I told you that Onesimus, there was something about Philemon that did touch Onesimus? Can you imagine being a runaway slave, safe in Rome, no one can get you? And Paul says, oh, by the way, I think you need to go back. And if he doesn't command Philemon, he didn't command Onesimus. I want you to go back, and there is evidently something in the heart and character of the man Philemon that Onesimus is now willing to take the chance. Because Paul says, he's one of us. He's our brother. And when he comes back, you're not to treat him as a runaway slave. You're not to treat him as a horrible person who has failed. You are to welcome him as a brother and love him. Now, we could go on and on trying to debate and figure out what was going on in the whole story that we don't have words about. But what I hear here is Paul saying, okay, there's one more leg of your journey you need to start. And it's let this man go. So Paul is encouraging Philemon to do something Philemon might not even have considered. He was challenging him. And there's strong church tradition. And I always am careful with using church tradition, but a strong church history tradition that Philemon did, in fact, let Onesimus go. Even some hints, perhaps, in the word itself. The reason I say that, the reason I bring up that Paul is raising an issue that has to be dealt with, it has to be an uncomfortable issue for them all to talk about. He's saying, do the right thing. Sometimes, my friends, encouraging someone you love in their growth means you may have to say things they don't want to hear. Sometimes encouraging people to move forward with Christ is actually challenging them to put aside those things that they've been holding on to, those grudges that they've held on forever. And you know it's an old grudge when all you have to do is mention a name and the fur flies. Back when I was much younger, back when I was, I don't know, even know why I'd try. With that part of me still being saved, I had some spinster aunts, cousins. I've told you the Baldwin sisters were my cousins. Now, I don't know if they had a recipe, but I wouldn't doubt it. But Mary Emma and Madeleine, I love those women to death. They gave me books. Some of those books went back into the 1800s. They told me stories about what it was like when Papa Rawson came to Texas with all his furniture in a covered wagon. I love them. But Mary Emma was a woman's college teacher, Texas Women's University. And in the early 60s, she got a call from one Lady Bird Johnson. Some of you may remember Lady Bird and her husband, Lyndon Baines. Well, this was before he was president. He was a mere senator at the time. And Lady Bird wanted to contract my cousin to tutor their daughter, Linda Bird. And my cousin said, thank you, but I'm happy at the position I'm at. I prefer teaching my girls, and I'm going to stay with it. To which Lady Bird responded, and she is legendary for stuff like this, do you know who you are talking to? To which Mary Emma Rawson responded, yes, do you, and hung up the phone. Now, here I come a decade later. I've heard the stories. And it was fun every once in a while to just mention President and First Lady Johnson. I hope and pray she got over that before she met the Lord. I think she did. But boy, all I had to say was the name. Sometimes you're encouraging me as Danny. I think you're off base. I think you treated that person unfairly. Or I know you. And you can do more than that. Sometimes it's me telling you it's time to let go of the past. All of the things that you've dredged up and held on to, it's time to let go. Because if we love each other enough, we want to see each other grow, don't we? And sometimes the kindest words we can give are the words that challenge the heart. I know you're better than this because Christ is in you. And you can move forward. So let's do that. Let's help. Whether it's an attaboy, you're doing a great job, keep it up, or look, you've been doing so well, and now there's something in your life that needs dealing with. Let's not fail to let our brothers and sisters know that God stands ready to move their lives further in the journey of faith. I need to remind you, you need to remind me, you're here, and God wants you here, and He's going to move in your life. Don't fight Him. God stands ready to move their lives further in the journey of faith. Isn't that great to know that God loves us exactly where we are, but He loves us so much He won't let us stay where we are and moves? And then the final reason for expressing thankfulness. Thankfulness for godly friends brings encouragement and joy into our own lives. Now, I know that sounds a little bit me-obsessed, but look what happens with Paul. This idea of bringing encouragement and joy into our own lives. When I express gratitude to God for you, when I express gratitude to you for what you've done, it changes me. And it brings me joy. Paul just tells Philemon, he shared the great joy and encouragement. Paul doesn't say, when I'm thinking about you, I get a little bit happy. No, you've brought me great joy, great encouragement, because I've seen how you take care of the brothers. I see how you love the family of God. I see how Christ is truly Lord in your life now, and wants to be even further as you let go of this one last thing that's holding you back. Paul says, I think about you and it brings me sheer joy. Folks, people should know the joy they bring to us. You know that old expression, send your roses while they're living? People need to know you've touched me in such a powerful way. Many of you know that Rachel brought out in me the love of musicals, which was hard because my first musical I went to see with her, The Sound of Music, and I was 17 years old, and I did not want to go. But that brown-eyed girl did, and so I did. And all of a sudden, I discover a whole new genre of stuff. And it jumps back and forth. There are about three musicals that, depending on when I'm thinking about it, are my favorite. Fiddler on the Roof, which has edge most of the time. And then Camelot, which kind of jumps in there as well. And I have a new one. Wicked. It's a retelling of the story of the Wizard of Oz, and I absolutely love it. It's a wonderful... Glinda and the Wicked Witch of the West are college roommates. It's just a great song, musical. But there's a song in it, and I cannot quote the whole thing to you because I don't make it through. The very first time I heard it was a morning news show. And the two lead actresses were there promoting it, and they sang the song. I bawled like a baby. Jessica Matt took me to the musical in Dallas a few years back. I bawled like a baby. If I go very deep into the words right now, I will bawl like a baby. But I will tell you the refrain. The two characters are saying goodbye for what they think is the last time and probably will be for. And the refrain just keeps on and on. Who could say that I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, I have been changed for good. One day I'm going to work up the courage to try to make it through that. And it can be done as a solo if you twist, do something. But if I decide to do it here, just be sure there's plenty of tissue for me and all that. That would work. James Hewitt tells the story of a doctoral student who, as part of his process and preparation for his thesis, goes to the Southwest and for a year lives among a Navajo tribe. He stayed with one family, and He ate the food they ate and didn't snarl his nose. He did the work they did. He slept the way they, he just lived out life with them. And people came to love him. The tribe just, he was such an open, loving guy that the tribe just embraced him, including the grandma of the family. Now, what makes this special? She could not speak English, and when he arrived, he could not speak any Navajo. And everybody was confused because they were the best of friends. And they would not being able to verbally communicate for the longest, they would giggle and they would just have a good old time. It makes me think very much when we were in Germany, mom had a broken leg. Our landlord's mother-in-law came and taught my mom how to crochet and how to knit. And over 3 months, they developed a fast friendship. Mom couldn't speak German. Oma couldn't speak English. And I would walk in, shake my head, and go upstairs because it was weird to watch. For an 11-year-old boy, 60-year-old guy would love it now. So anyway, along the way, he picks up a few Navajo phrases. She picks up a few English phrases. And the day finally comes when he has to leave. When the pickup truck is ready, the whole tribe is poured out. They love him. They're crying. They're hugging. They're saying all these words of how much you've meant to us and all of this. It's all taken care of, and he's about ready to get into the pickup when out comes Grandma. And she walked up to him with tears streaming down her face. And she looked him straight in the eye, put her hands on his face and said, "I like me best when I'm with you." Folks, that's the kind of joy that we can bring into each other's lives. That's the kind of meaning. So we should tell people, "I'm a better person when you're around. I'm a better man because I knew you." So let's not fail to let our brothers and sisters know that their lives have made us richer. Take the time, however you do it. There's so many different ways today of communication. But somewhere down the line, someone has brought joy, someone has brought life, someone has brought meaning and richness into our lives. Let us thank God. Pray with me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for your love for us and praying that we learn what it means to be thankful. And we express that thankfulness and joy as best we can, when we can, through Christ. Amen.